Bench of Shame.
Bench of Shame. So this is 1 hour.
Give or take.
The Bench of Shame. Bench of Shame.
We have the Chair of Shame. Yeah. Couch of Shame.
I like the Love Seat of Shame.
The plush
the love Shame.
I like it. Yeah, but this is nice. I like this. Part of my butt.
I feel like it. Yeah. I liked it in school when I was a kid.
No, seriously, like, when I lay down and go to sleep, beds kind of bother me. So like I can sleep on the floor, and it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, like it's perfect. Just put down just a sheet and I'll be good.
That's all I need. Yeah. I think somebody said in the UK, they said if you can sleep on the floor, you can sleep anywhere. I'm like, well, that's basically anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Erica? Because it's the Bench of Shame.
I might have given you the crappy mic.
Let me do a salacious thing. No? Did it work?
I did not realize the talent
that's
you
perfect.
Had. Is it perfect?
There you go. There you go.
Test 1, 2, 3. Test. Test 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I love salacious.
Test.
So do I.
I'm not sitting in the seat of shame. Test 1, 2, 3. All right.
Love it.
Okay, now I gotta check mine real quick.
It's the shortest cord, so I can't really go very far with it.
Aww.
I know.
Short leash.
I've got the mic of shame.
The mic of shame.
We're all shameful about something. All right. There we go.
Want to smile for the camera?
I'm shameful for being the last person here.
Get your mic on.
Drop the mic. Oh, he's even got the VCS. Man, you guys got some cool stuff. God.
This is all Jacob stuff.
Wow.
By the way.
That's so cool.
Right?
So is Jacob a Firestorm fan? I see there's a Dan Jurgens Firestorm page here, too.
Yeah, he's a huge fan.
Oh.
Time to flash on for me. I'm not an Apple user. I'm an
Android?
User.
Neither am I.
Hey, Chris.
Sir.
That's one of my books I did for DC hanging on the wall.
Wow. That's awesome.
You are listening to the Goram Nerd Hour on Sanguine Entertainment.
You're like a total fanboy, Jacob.
Fanboy, Jacob.
Yeah, that's me. Can't you tell from all the nerdy stuff I have on my walls? All right. So, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome
hello.
To the Goram Nerd Hour. We actually have a special episode this week because we have some guests that have actually joined us here in our makeshift studio.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, first of all, we're missing Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, you have a spider on your mic or a thing. Oh, okay.
It's a hair.
I thought it was a spider.
It's a hairball.
It looks it'd like be, it's
be,
moving.
It would be fitting if it was a spider.
It was
it's
moving.
Close to Halloween.
Right.
It was moving. But Casey is here.
Hi.
As you could probably tell from, you know, his laugh.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
it's back.
And so I'm going to let everybody kind of go around the room and introduce themselves. So let's start on the Bench of Shame.
Okay. This is Rossi Manuel. I'm the director of a film called Occupants, which Jacob and his wonderful team, Colleen Casey, presented us with the second place Best of the Festival award
yeah,
at Phoenix Comic Con.
What?
And I wanted to say thank you again. And, you know, I'm just very happy to be here. Now, this time, of course, we're talking about the comic book tie-in
yes.
to the film. So... From the Bench of Shame, thank you.
Well, I am new to the Bench of Shame, And my name is Chris Winters, and I am cast member on the movie Occupants and also the comic book tie-in, and writer, co-producer, and actor, and I guess many things, and a lover of sci-fi.
Nice.
And then finally?
My name is David Beatty, and I'm the artist who worked on Occupants, and I've been a professional comic artist for over 25 years, known mostly for my work at DC Comics, where I worked on things such as Batman Incorporated, Brightest Day, Grifter, Justice League of America, all kinds of fun stuff.
Nice.
Very cool. And I know you worked at Boom for a while as well.
Yes. Did a few things at Boom. I think I did a lot of my work with another artist by the name of Scott Clark, because I've done a lot of inks and a lot of colors. And if I remember correctly with Scott, I think we did Stanley's The Traveler over at Boom. And then we also did several covers for Mark Waid's Irredeemable.
Oh, nice.
With the Plutonian. Nice. Yeah. One of my favorite covers, actually, we did, because it's this really cool shot of the Plutonian, and he's kind of like an upshot, and there's this destroyed building in the background. It's a really cool kind of cover.
Oh, very cool.
That's awesome.
And now you're doing the Occupants comic book here.
Yep, I'm working on Occupants.
All right.
Sweet.
He's Team Occupants.
Love it.
Yep.
all right, so let's kind of go into a little bit here. I know that the movie Occupants, you've been traveling it around. Everything's been great with like the reception at these different festivals that you've been in. You brought your Shriekfest award with you to show us. And then you also had your award from the Phoenix Comic Con Film Festival that we gave you.
Yeah.
But how else has it been going? I know that you've really kind of been pushing this thing out there, and it seems to have been just going really well, going gangbusters.
Exploding.
Well, here's what I would say. We have Robert Picardo of Star Trek Voyager on the film.
Right.
And so I targeted Comic Cons specifically because of Robert Picardo. I mean, that's one reason I targeted Phoenix Comic Con, because I know that I think Comic Cons are more amenable to, you know, Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
So you know, I did that, and so we've been playing at Comic Cons. Of course, Phoenix Comic Con, Florida SuperCon, San Diego Comic Con.
Nice.
We're going to be at Stan Lee's Kamikaze. Now it's called, I guess, Los Angeles Comic Con.
Yeah, they Los switched Angeles the name. Comic Expo or something, maybe.
Yeah, they switched the name. that's next Saturday. Nice. And, you know, it's been treating us well. We're going to be at Tucson Comic Con. There's going to be a panel. It's been pretty cool. I guess Rose City Comic Con, I should mention, also in Portland. And at the same time, film festivals have been very open to the film too, and I was very grateful about that. And film festivals, as in, you know, like Phoenix Comic Con Film Festival, but also like the Kansas International Film Festival, where we're up for Best Narrative Film, Feature Film, and that's going to be November 6th, 2 days before the election, so that should be quite interesting. They're actually flying me out there, so I'm very curious to see. I've never been to Kansas. My dad grew up in Kansas, so I'm very curious about that. So, you know, we got the Shriekfest Award. That's one of the top horror film festivals, and to actually win at Shriekfest, I just shout out to Denise Gossett, who's the festival director of Shriekfest Horror Film Festival. So, for the film itself, just the film, it's been doing well.
Nice.
On top of that, now we have the comic book.
Why you're back here.
And that's why I'm back. And that's why we're at the Phoenix Fan Fest, which we had our release party and a panel yesterday. The panel was at 1:30 p.m. And, Dave Beatty was there. Chris Winters, he's the main actor. The character, you could say, in the comic book tie-in. But it is truly a comic book tie-in. Now, I was the writer of the comic book, more out of necessity than anything else, since I knew my own story. And it takes place during acts 1 and 2 of the feature film. So it's concurrent.
Nice.
And the major characters in the feature film become minor characters in the comic book, and vice versa. And Chris Winters is a character in the feature film in this thing called the Peterson Research Institute testimonial video. So we expanded his character into the comic book.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has Julia had any involvement in the comic at all, Julia Camera, the writer of the movie?
No, not the comic book. But what she's going to do is she's going to take what happened in the comic book and she's going to canonize it into Occupants 2, which she is currently writing.
Oh,
okay. Beautiful.
Yes. And very she cool. has to- she has told me, by the way, Dave, save me a comic book, please, Russ. So I'm going to get her a printed copy of the comic book.
Nice.
All right. Chris, tell us a little bit about your acting experience. And you said you're also a writer as well. And
yes. Well, I think the show that really got me on the map was this one called Haunting, or The Haunting, that was on Discovery Channel. And after that was a series of reality shows and a couple of movies and this and that and whatever, but I'm on IMDb. I don't like to brag about it. But
well, you're also on Netflix.
Yeah, that's FTR American Badass is also on there too, and that's a very nice comedy. So, but with Russ,
I recognized you. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
But yeah,
that movie cracks me up.
Yeah, it's a very good movie, and as far as writing is concerned, I've been working on this novel for like 7 years and finally getting lying and it's done, and at the end of this month I'm gonna push it out and everything else. It's a huge science fiction dystopian end of the world kind of thing, and humanity's reconstructing itself, but again it gets corrupted and it's in the same circle over again, and it's just all illusion in the end. So
beautiful. In fact, on the printed comic book you will see a full page ad on the last page.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a whole full page ad right there. And it actually gives you a more wider blurb than I'm giving you now. So, but there's like 3 other novels on a rate after that. And they're based on more science fiction, paranormal, alternate reality universe. There is a romance that I do like to write. But I've been trying to do that for 2 years, but the science fiction kind of like pushes out of the way. So I'm like, not going to write the romance for a while. But, yeah, and then, you know, it's just when I came to Russ and this, I think it was like, what, it was like a quarter away or something when Occupants was going on?
Oh, when you were involved in
Principal photography, principal shooting was already done, I think.
Yeah, he was part of the pickup shoots. In the film,
yeah.
It described the Picardo's character was describing, there's even some video that you can watch of this parallel phenomena. Yeah. Well, we didn't have that video, so we had to create that video. And that's mm-hmm. where I wanted my good friend Chris to be part of this. And that's where it came about, because Chris here was able to get his friends from all over the world to send in quote-unquote testimonial videos yeah. of seeing parallel universes. So we have, what, 35 videos. And those 35 mm-hmm. videos you can actually see, and it's in the comic book on page 24.
Right.
It shows the website, which is the Peterson Research Institute site, an actual site, by the way, PRI-research.info.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see those videos, and Chris was very instrumental in making that happen. So we shot his scenes. The main shoot was September 2014. His scenes were April 2015. And based on that, all those videos, we put together the video into the film. But also, I should mention the person not in this room, Eric Alexander. Eric mm-hmm. Alexander is the associate producer of the film. And it was his idea to do the comic book tie-in. And he knew Dave Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one who made this happen.
So I'm guessing that's how you got involved then, Dave, was because of Eric. And how did this association come about as far as, like, how did you know Eric?
Well, I've known Eric for many years, actually, through the Phoenix Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
He used to was like a volunteer and did a lot of stuff with Phoenix Comic Con. I think at one point he might have been involved actually with the film festival program.
Yeah.
Now prior to that, he used to self-publish comic books, and he would be in the same like independent, indie publisher artist alley area that I'm known for a lot of the Marvel and the DC stuff I've worked on, but I also have a lot of creator-owned titles I've worked on too. Mm-hmm. I did a book called Star Gods, which is science fiction. Sort of like mythological god kind of thing. And then I had another title called Bushi Tales that was a post-apocalyptic story about 4 female samurai. And I was actually doing the convention circuit with Bushi Tales when I met Eric.
Okay.
And he liked Bushi Tales, and
I enjoyed hanging out with him, and his dad did 3D stuff, and they were incorporating some 3D stuff into some of his comics. Mm-hmm. And I was incorporating, I had done 3D stuff with Star Gods and was looking to incorporate more 3D work in some of my other projects. And so it was kind of weird. Like, me and his dad kind of hit it off, and we're just talking about 3D stuff. And I got to know Eric really well, and we've been friends for a long time. And yeah, it's one of those things, you got a friend that's like, hey, we should do a project together.
Yeah.
You know? And so he had been following a web comic that I do called Red Skirts instead of Red Shirts. It's an all-female security squad. It's a comedy series, a parody spoof thing. And he was, we were talking about it, and he was commenting on it. He's like, hey, I got this project you might be interested in. And I was like, oh, what's that? And so he kind of gave me a soft pitch for it. And I said, that sounds interesting. I'd like to find out more. And so we started talking, and eventually I started talking with Russell, and we kind of hammered out a deal, and I was brought on board. So.
Very cool. And the stuff that I've seen, it looks gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
So I know that that Russ has been nothing but excited about it right from the start.
Oh, very.
So even back when we were at the film festival proper, like he still already had those cover posters made up and everything right. else, and he was showing those to us. I think you even gave me one as well.
I think so, too. Yeah.
So,
makes me want to turn my novel into a graphic novel now. This is very detailed. It's very futuristic, and mm-hmm. and I know that Russ I talked about him and else, and I know he's read the first draft.
Well, and, you know who to hire.
Yeah, I talked to Dave about that last night. So,
but what happened was once we met, I think it was November 2015 when we first talked. Right, we had a teleconference, right, yeah. The three of us, Eric, you and me, and then we hammered out a deal, as you said, in December. And then what we decided to do was an Indiegogo campaign, mm-hmm. and you know, you got to see my face kind of presenting this project. And you know, if you know me, I don't really like to do that, but I knew you needed somebody, a face of the.
But the presentation was really well.
Well, I appreciate
it.
Yeah,
it was good.
And you know, we had a release party, and you were there, Chris, too. Mm-hmm. I was at the Critical Threat Comics, it was called, in February 2015. Mm-hmm. And then we launched it. We literally launched it during that. And my friend Eric Brown of Cosmic Cafe Show, he was there to document this whole thing. So we launched, I think, like late February. And then, if you know me, I kind of have anxiety. So, and you know this, Chris. And I was like, we're not going to do it. We're not going to raise it. So I was like, you know, having a little anxiety attack going on there. But then 2 weeks into it, we raised 100%.
Nice.
I mean, yeah. And then we went way above 225%.
Yeah, I think it's like a month after it went up to like, it was like well over 100%. And then, and then after that, it was like 200%. And we're like, wow.
We wanted $4,050, re-raised $9,120.
Yeah.
Wow.
That allowed us to do a lot more promotional stuff. And that's why we're here.
And
have a release party.
In L.A., that's pretty much unheard of right there.
Oh, it was amazing.
It's like historical.
And look, Dave here is, he's the star. I'm, of course, you too, but.
No, Dave is. Dave is
really the star.
The talent is awesome.
Yeah, and I wanted Dave to have an amazing experience. This was for Dave, to be honest. You know, and Dave, I'm very appreciative. And yesterday at 1:30 p.m. during our panel, he completed the comic book, and it was amazing. It was a great experience.
Hashtag awesome.
Yes, live and in front of I want to say studio audience. Yes, live in front of an audience.
Yeah. I wish Cosmic Cafe would have been there, because when Cosmic Cafe did the release, the campaign, they actually had good equipment, and it was all set up and everything else. And if we had Cosmic there, it would have been just...
Oh, no. But you did Facebook Live for us. You and your
that's after
Sarah Marie Singleton. Yeah. Sarah Marie Singleton played the nurse in the comic book. And I just want to give a shout out to her, because she did this Facebook Live. And this is new for me.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of hits. We got a lot of hits. And I was like, wow, this is very cool. And Timothy Lee Conley, he was also in there. He plays Lee Mitchell.
He did it too.
In fact, yeah, he did it too. And he's one of the main characters. So I want to give a shout out to him and Nicole Morris, who is, again, one of the main characters, Nicole Thornton, in the comic book. So, this Facebook Live thing is amazing. It's something new for me. I mean, I didn't know what it was, but, you know, Chris was showing me after the fact of how many view and hits we got. And it's much more than just a simple photo when I post on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And when that's shared with like other friends that are friends of yours, because I had a couple of friends that shared on mine, And if his friends seen it and they shared it, then their friends are going to see it. I like it better in Periscope, because Periscope I'm not really versed on. But to me, it's like another application you got to download and create another account. And with Facebook, at least, you know, I already have a little bit of platform there. And I can just shuffle it to my fan page and whatever. But I did it on my personal page, and it worked out really well.
And
so,
and you did that not only during the panel, but also at our table. We had a table there. Right. In fact, I think we had two tables, didn't we, Dave?
Yeah, that was a bit of confusion. When we got to the convention, I knew I had been listed as a guest on the website, but I didn't realize like I was like a real guest. I thought it was just like additional promotion for the film, because I was going to be at the occupants table promoting the film and the comic book. Like I'm not there to promote me per se. I'm there to promote the projects.
Right.
And so I get there and they're like, oh yeah, well your table is here, and it's like, no, it's not. And it's like, oh wait, and it dawns on me, it's like I'm a full guest. And like, oh, that's wonderful. So,
and we're promoting you.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you did.
So while I'm over at the occupants table, like all day Saturday, like Instagram is popping up, and it's all these people that are fans or friends of mine, and they're like all going, "Where's Dave?" It's hashtag Where's Dave? Sort of
showing on Instagram. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Well, that's just wonderful. So, I bet some people still are like going, well, everybody's saying he's seeing him. Where the hell is he?
We should do a running joke after this and just like say things like, I don't know, some things that were missing. Like say we had a bit of audio trouble. We can say there was some audio trouble. Forgive us and blah, blah, blah. But where's Dave? Yeah. or something like that. So,
well, it was funny. Yeah, it was funny during the panel. We either had video or audio.
Yeah.
You had one or the other.
Good.
Yeah.
But it turned out okay, because we just ended up, we talked. We talked a lot. There was like six of us on the panel. And I should give a shout out to Al Sparrow. He was there. Yeah. He was the letterer and the variant art cover artist. And also Brian Miller, who was not there. He was also the lead colorist for the standard cover. So yeah. And the panel I thought turned out very well. And then you did the Facebook Live, and Sarah helped with that. And again, we did the Facebook Live during the table, our table, which was AA624. He was at AA714, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I was never there.
Well, your parallel self.
Yeah. So it wasn't even close to the other table to be like, yeah, I'm married.
Actually, it was. If you went right through the partition to the next aisle, he was right there.
I was right there. Yeah.
This is a very strange question.
Did you put a sign up?
My wife did put a sign over there that said that I was at the occupants table, but I still don't know if some people got it. So they probably just walked by and went, "That lazy bum still ain't here."
Hashtag where's Dave?
Russell and I were talking. We had this joke because occupants is about parallel universes, and the parallel versions of people are sometimes very different. I said, well, then parallel Dave can't be bothered to show up. He's at the bar drunk.
All that good parallel liquor.
Yeah. And then hashtag where's Dave, and then space drunk. I think Micah, was it you last night? She had a tablet, because I did the release, the trailer. So I showed the trailer. I showed everybody. Here it is. People are like, yay. And I'm like, excuse me. Okay, we're going to see the trailer. And I did it on my phone. And I was watching. I was almost quiet. I'm like, I cannot believe I did this. And then she goes, I have a tablet. It's larger than your phone. I was like, oh. That would have been better.
Micah, thank you. Micah's wife of Dave Beatty. And thank you for doing that.
No. I don't mind at all. The only thunder I have is a little bit like a little cloud going by.
I think Parallel Dave, though, did show up to the release party where there was liquor.
Yeah,
and we had
a
release party
there
at 8 o'clock. Yes, and that's, yeah, that's where we all had a blast. I thought it was very fun. It was very fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I have a question about Robert Picardo. Have you heard any of his music? Apparently he actually has released a couple of albums, but they're more like comedy songs.
I've heard his singing.
But you haven't actually heard the...
Not his music. Okay. His singing, yes.
Because I heard about it. I was looking for them, and I can't seem to find them.
I would
have to try and track those.
We can get them.
He'd be like, they don't exist.
They're in a parallel universe. He sent them over there.
They're gone forever.
I hadn't heard that, and that's interesting, because there seems to be this association with like Star Trek actors and like these audio music based albums. Cause I remember, I remember when I went to a convention years ago to hopefully meet Brent Spiner and,
Yellow Eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. And then, of course, there's the infamous, you know, the William Shatner album from way, way back when.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually started doing that like as a bit. You know, like, what was it? It was one of the TV shows he was on there doing it live. Like,
oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, he did it for MTV for their Video Music Awards one year. He was doing all the popular songs like that with bongos. And
Well, still my favorite is the Futurama bit.
Which was
Slim
basically
Shady.
But yeah, I guess Tim Russ has released a couple of albums.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Mr. Picardo had one too.
Yeah, I've seen Tim Russ.
I think it's Parallel Picardo.
Parallel Picardo.
I've seen Tim Russ perform quite a few times. There's a friend of mine who's a friend of his, and she invited me to go see Tim Russ. So he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
I've heard that. I haven't had a chance to listen to his stuff yet, but we a lot of times we'll close out our shows with you know, an actor who has attempted to sing. It's not always a good thing.
Well,
we have an actor here named Chris Winters.
Sing. No, okay. No, well, the reason why I say is that Tim Russ is there because Tim Russ used to play a lot at the Aqua in Beverly Hills, and that's where I would see him. And Dennis Quaid was another one because I remember I was recording and he was playing keyboard right there. And I'm just like, hey, how you doing? He was all sweaty and everything else, but he's not bad either. I mean, he's a pretty good singer. And just to be like 5 inches, you're like, you're that close to it. I'm like, yeah, who cares? It's just he's sweaty.
He's sweaty.
Do not want to touch him.
Music, he's sweaty.
But he's pretty good too, though. But I think I've seen Tim Russ like 4 or 5 times. He's really down to earth too. So yeah, he's really nice.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think the first Star Trek actor, though, to release any music was Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, I've heard his too. I had a girlfriend in high school who was like a big Trekkie. And I've always loved Star Trek, too. But as I used to tell people, I don't qualify as a Trekkie because back in the day, they had a sheet. And there was Trekkie and Trekker and fan. And there were like levels. Like you had to have like seen all the episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So many of the original. There were like designations. So you went to a Star Trek convention, you called yourself a Trekkie, like on the spot. They're like, all right, give me your list. What have you done?
I kept
getting busted down to fan. So
demoted.
Not in the regular world with the civilians, if you want to call it that. Like they're like, oh, you're a no.
Yeah, they would call you out.
No, I do not qualify. But I had a girlfriend who did qualify, and she was the first one who gave me the Kobayashi Maru book to read. But she also, we were hanging at her house one time, and she was playing the Leonard Nimoy album, and I was like, that's Leonard Nimoy? She's like, yeah. I was like, I didn't realize that he, you know, sang.
Yeah.
That was probably my first introduction. Bilbo Baggins is a classic, though.
I think you qualify as a true Trekkie over here, though.
Wait, are you fluent in Klingon?
No. But I did direct a short film a few years ago, and one of the things that I originally was going to do, I was going to shoot the whole thing in Klingon, put subtitles on it.
Because that's so awesome.
The film was just meant to be as weird as possible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
The signs that were all in Chinese, the killer only spoke German.
Of course.
So the protagonist spoke Klingon.
Yeah. This is very...
I figured, why not have everybody else speak in Klingon? But then I realized how hard that was going to be to translate, get all the actors to learn.
Yeah.
I scrapped that, and we just did it in English.
Lame.
Yeah. English? What's that?
So we do a bit on here from time to time called Bad Impression Theater. I was hoping that you guys might actually be willing to be a part of it with us today. We take a script that was never produced, and in this particular case, it's Big Trouble in Little China 2. Which was meant to be a TV movie and wasn't going to have Kurt Russell in it, so Jack Burton's not even a part of the story.
It's horrible.
So we just do it in terrible impressions throughout. So I was hoping that you guys might be interested in helping us out today.
Sure.
We can get a shot.
Yeah.
It's tempting.
Yeah.
I have 4 scripts printed up. and ready. So.
Okay. Oh no!
Oh no!
We'll share one. Me and you.
No.
Is it co-reading? Is it co-reading?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Just we'll assign characters to each other, and then
okay.
I'll narrate the whole thing, but then the rest of it is all gonna be you.
You should make this into a game, and go to Milton Bradley and go, hey, I got this great game. And
you just get
the licensing for that.
It's a lot of fun though. We do it on here. I had a an actor friend of mine, Bill Oberst Jr., on once, and he was great. Like, we were reading from The Crow 2037.
That was awesome.
A terrible script that Rob Zombie wrote that never produced.
Is he still alive?
Rob Zombie?
Yeah. I have not heard from him.
He just made a new movie.
Oh, I feel bad then.
Called 31. It was, oh my God, it was horrible.
You saw it?
Mm-hmm. I just watched it this morning.
Of course you would.
You know, well, first of all, I had a huge crush on Meg Foster all the time I was growing up.
Right.
And she's in it.
Of course.
Oh, wow.
I mean, of course, she's old now. It doesn't matter. Her eyes are still gorgeous.
Her eyes.
Yeah. Well, I interviewed her. The eyes. I interviewed her years ago, and she was practically sitting on my lap through the whole thing.
That's awesome.
Like, I just kept looking into her eyes, and I was trying to avoid the wrinkles and just not look. Oh, my God. I still kind of love
her.
No,
you stop right now. All right. Let's hand out the scripts.
Okay.
Horrible.
See, it's perfect that actually Jeremy isn't here.
Yeah.
I think, do you need glasses? You want to share mine?
Not glasses, light.
Oh.
No, I can do it.
Are you sure?
Yeah. So who's who?
You guys get to try and figure that part out.
So we have Kim and Bobby. And then we have
Egg Shin.
Egg Shin apparently is still part of the story.
And then we
Egg Shin was the guy with the weird eye, right?
Yeah.
And then we have Brad.
Forgive me with the lack of knowledge.
Egg Shin.
Okay.
I'm Egg Shin. I took Egg Shin.
Are we just doing this Act 1 section or also this Act 2
we're doing
section?
Just the pages that were printed out on here. Okay. So what is it, 16 through 30 or something?
Because there's also a Chi Lung on Act 2.
Ah. So, yeah, you guys might be playing more than one character. So.
Oh, and Yen Lo. There's quite a few people in here.
I'll take... It looks like Brad has one part. That's so cool for me.
Who's going to be Bobby?
I guess I could be Bobby just to get us moving forward.
And who's got Kim?
I'll do Kim.
Okay. So.
That leaves me with Brad.
So is Chi Lung a woman or a man?
I don't know.
I'm going to play Chi Lung.
I'm not sure. Like, I'm not, since I don't speak Chinese, I don't know.
Oh,
I'll be Yen Lo. I pick Yen Lo, my second character.
Yen Lo?
Yes.
What a
I got dibs on Yen Lo.
Oh, I thought you said yellow.
Yen Lo.
Did you say Chi Lung? You're Chi Lung.
I know, but it sounded like
are you Chi Lung
yellow
on this one?
No, I'm not Chi Lung. I'm Egg Shin.
And I was like,
Yen
I can't
Lo.
Believe they would put that in the script.
Not yellow. Yen Lo.
I guess I'll try Chi Lung. I mean.
You look like Chi Lung.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Is that it? More characters we need?
Nihama.
Do we have a Steve?
Steve.
Is there a Steve?
I don't have two yet, so I guess I could do Steve.
Okay.
Well, you're doing Bobby.
But you're Bobby.
You're Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby.
I could be Steve and Egg Shin, I guess. Okay. Let's
and
try.
And Yen Lo?
I guess.
Yeah, I
gotta do it at the same time. You're Egg Shin and Steve.
So I have to have two different voices. Okay.
Yeah.
This would be interesting.
I have to do it from time to time on here. So all right, so are we ready to go?
Nope. Yeah, not at all, but let's try.
All right. Let me do a quick little intro for it. Get into character here. All right. Hello and welcome back to Bad Impression Theater. I'm Richard Blood.
Good to have you back, sir.
Thank you. When last we left, there were 15 pages of pure dribble.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't remember anything about it.
So they were arguing.
I don't care.
Okay, cool.
let's go ahead and get started. I don't really feel like doing it.
Dala sa gi. Go ahead. Fight, stupids.
They turn. Kim is moving into attack stance. Yi goes for her. In a quick, surprising combo, Kim flips, tumbles, kicks, punches, and sends Yi through the window of Chi Fun Laundry. He stumbles out, covered in dry cleaning. Bobby laughs.
Nai Gum Ling, you're beautiful.
Nam Gung Yi, you're short.
You're angry. Swings onto his chopper. I like that. Get on.
Get lost.
He likes that too. He's about to mess with her more when he hears sirens off screen.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
To create a diversion, Bobby breaks the curio shop window and sets off the alarm. A quick, unexpected blow sends Steve into the garbage again. Bobby turns to Kim.
I'll see you again.
I'll lie awake at night.
He laughs, nods to the Flame Lords, angles the Flame Lords. They race off. Egg Shin rushes out of his shop.
What?
Egg Shin.
Page 17.
On the page 17?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have page 17. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that was not Egg Shin. Here we go. Flame Lords! Nay, Gao Gai! You're off limits!
A beat, then Bobby steps up to him.
Hey, old man. What kind of gang would be... Wait a minute. What kind of gang would we be if we obey the rules?
Bobby hops on his cycle, gives Egg a mock salute, pops the clutch, screeches away. Lords vanish into the woodwork. Angle Kim and Brad. Brad's awestruck at Kim's fighting skills. Who's Brad?
That's you, Chris.
I'll be Brad, I guess.
Jeez, Kim. Where'd you learn how to do that?
Women's support group.
She walks up to Steve, lying in the garbage, picking fish heads out of his hair. Kim stands over him, hands on hips.
Thanks for your help.
Don't mention it.
But you shouldn't interfere. Not here.
Sorry. Thought you were in trouble. Obviously a mistake.
The Flame Lords are dangerous. You better leave, Little China.
What about you?
I work here. Anyway, they'll leave me alone.
Yeah, so I see.
She looks him up and down, then notices Egg. Dun dun. Steve follows her look, sees Egg picking up Jade from his smashed display. They approach. Egg looks up, notices their interest.
It's not wise to stand against the Flame Lords.
I can't take care of myself.
Yes, I observed.
Egg hands Kim a jade piece.
Jade. Magical. The only gemstones that change color when you touch it. It reacts to body temperature, chemistry. Some say to the person himself or herself.
The jade. It turns lighter in Kim's hand. Angle Egg. Like got bigger. Yeah.
Take two.
I was trying to like scroll up, and next thing I know, this thing just got huge on my tablet. All right. He studies Jade and Kim. He seems to see something. He smiles, and Kim slips back into his store. Kim and Steve look at each other for an awkward moment. Kim admires the small gift of Jade. She notices a broom, grabs it, and starts sweeping glass fragments into her gutter.
You're lucky you're in one piece.
Yeah, I'm feeling luckier by the moment. You're from Guangdong.
I'm from Alabama?
Alameda.
I'm from Alameda.
Your parents, then, Southern Canton?
How can you tell?
Your Cantonese has a provincial diphthong. Quailing?
You're close.
Really?
Yeah, from Oakland Systems Analysis Rockton? Yeah, Rockdyke?
That's what it looks like.
Rockdyke.
Rockdyke. Yeah. I'm as American as Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Chan.
This would be great with wine.
But you speak God. Cantonese.
I yell it. That's all I know, except for the curse words of your ancestors, Boogie.
I'm not a white ghost.
No. Who are you then?
Assistant curator at the Heritage Museum.
I thought you were kidding.
No, really. I was born in Beijing. My father was teaching there. I've been studying Chinese culture all my life. The jade piece I'm looking for is what I think it is. Our troubles are just beginning.
Our troubles?
She laughs at this. Sirens and lights up ahead. Cop cars screech. Glass breaking. Cars crashing. Brad runs up, hops into the truck, and stops it up.
Come on, Kim. My contract specifically states I do not have to work during earthquakes, atomic attacks, or civil disturbances.
Kim hands Steve the broom, gets in the passenger seat. Steve closes the door on her. She glances curiously at him.
Dun dun dun.
What did you say you were?
A collector.
Oh, of what?
Beautiful things.
A beat. A moment between them. Imperceptibly, she smiles.
Well, I've gotta go.
Joy Geen.
Yeah, see you later.
Brad pops the clutch and squeals out.
Wait!
Later. Later! Later!
Kim stares at Steve as Brad squeals away. A clatter! Steve turns as Egg pulls down metal shutters on the top.
Wait! I want to talk to you!
Can't talk now! Goodbye!
Egg slams the door. Heavy bolts crash shut. Steve is left alone, deserted in Little China. Act 2. The Stolen Jade Piece.
Am I Qilong?
I'm Qilong. You've done well, my son.
Interior, Qilong's warehouse, a fortress headquarters. Qilong admires the stolen jade as Bobby looks on proudly. She is ancient, powerful, and dressed like a Mandarin. His rooms furnished in exquisite art. He's evil, but with a quirky Alan Rickman, Jeremy Irons sense of humor. Bobby's attitude has changed. He is uneasy before his powerful sorcerer. Bobby notes the frenzy with which Chi makes certain incantations. He notices that Chi is entranced by the stolen jade.
Thank you, boss. By the way, this hunk of stone must be pretty important to you, huh?
You are interested in secrets of my power?
No, not really. Just curious, that's all.
Oh, you wouldn't think of questioning my authority.
Oh, me? No.
Your loyalty is to me. Your loyalty to me is...
Unquestioned, totally.
You were a lowly street hood, and I made you.
Leader of the Flame Lords, your magnificence, and I am deeply grateful. It's just, well, we need money.
Money? You want the money?
Well, you know, for expenses. You know, last night, gas, rope, you know, tolls for the...
Yeah, money for me.
A force beam shoots from Cheese Palm, impales Bobby, and lifts him by the throat, levitating him, choking. This is now Star Wars.
No, never mind. Forget it. Sorry I mentioned it.
She turns away. Bobby slams to the floor.
Oh, I mean, how do you do all this, you know, neat evil stuff anyway?
Oh, you know, the usual. Fact with the devil. Knowledge is the power. All that. But with certain limitations. And you know how I hate the limitations.
Oh boy, I do.
Qigong calls up images. Chinese ideograms appear.
That's why I studied the ancient text.
The ones you had me steal?
Borrow. Borrow. Short-term loan. They revealed that Chai Tao, the secret magical artifact that will give me the ultimate power.
Bobby snatches the jade from Chi's hand.
That?
This jade, one of the three pieces separated by Yama to prevent their power from stealing or from falling into...
evil hands?
She grails daggers at him.
Well, when I have a complete Chai Tao, that won't matter, will it?
He opens a curtain revealing the golden statue of the god Yama. He places the jade in the statue's outstretched hands. An unearthly gong rings. Bobby staggers, holding his ears.
What the hell was that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, hell is exactly what this is.
What?
Yenlo, servant Ayama.
God, Jesus. Take two.
Yenlo, servant Ayama. I summon thee.
A thunderclap. Bobby grabs his ears and cowers. Qi looks down with disdain, an unearthly howl.
Ooh!
The statue shudder.
Boss, you've been dipping into the Bok Fung again.
Oh, you'll pay attention. I have combined the two pieces of the Chai Tao. The clock now starts. We have 12 hours from the time the two pieces are combined to find and take possession of the third.
Or what? Wait a minute. Or what?
A slight penalty cost. If we fail to find the third pieces, we will be slave to the demon of hell for all eternity.
Oh, is that all? Huh, wait, what do you mean, we?
Bobby grows uneasy as Bobby's POV. Statues around the room are changing, coming alive.
Besides, I am sure there is a loophole somewhere. Something bothering you?
Nothing, no, except, well, maybe if I didn't know better, I'd swear that is, these statues, these gargoyles are coming to life. Listen, don't pay me now. I'll just put it on your tab.
Qi places a second jade piece on the altar. They emanate power. A rumbling howl from hell. Gargoyles move, terrified. Bobby snatches one of the jade pieces, holds it up before him like a protective talisman. Qi is outraged.
Hey, what are you doing, you fool?
You never mentioned the part about hell.
We've slipped the mind off. God, it must have slipped my mind.
If this has, you know, power, maybe it'll protect me.
Give me that, you twit. Don't worry. You're with me.
Yeah, sure. That guy about to go to hell. Great. Look, you know, I want protection.
Bobby's demand triggers a change. The jade glows. He drops it, burning his hand. She snaps it up, hides it in the folds of his robe. The room rumbles. Walls explode in a burst of radiance. Yin Lo arrives, and he is pissed. The servant of Yama confronts Qi. Yin Lo is as big and scary as Jack Palance on a bad hair day.
Oh my god!
He's dressed in blue robes, a conical hat, with a silver serpent embroidered on his chest. He looms over the others, intimidating.
Who commands me?
Qi Long has summoned you, Yin Lo, servant of Yama.
He shows him the jade piece set in the Yama statue. Yin is shocked.
By this piece of Chai Tao, I lay claim to all power over the universe.
One piece alone is not enough, Jilong. You must now accompany me to hell. Now!
Oh, no.
Jilong snatches the jade from the altar and fits it with the second piece. He whips out from beneath his robe. A flash! Yin Lo is blown back into a dragon throne. The dragon comes alive. Snake around and hold him fast.
It's something like that.
You've grown careless, Yun. I have not one, but a two. I now make my claim over the Chai Tao, and when you help me get the third and final piece, ultimate power will be mine.
Yin Lo struggles mightily, but the combined power of the two artifacts traps him. Holds him on the throne. Bobby's awed.
You can hold him there?
Not for long, Chilong. The judges have been summoned.
Judges? What judges?
Oh, you know, the ones from hell. Now I really need the third piece. Oh,
you have just 12 hours.
Then what?
All hell breaks loose. 12 hours to take possession of the third piece.
She waves. Thunder, lightning, flames and smoke break out. The room rocks under the evil spell. She stands up to it.
All right. And we both know where it is.
Exterior, Egg's antique shop, same time. Steve sweeps the last of the glass into the gutter, then walks up to Egg's door. Egg's inside, bustling about. He pulled down more shutters, draws shades, turns the closed sign. Steve holds up Egg's broom. Egg looks after a beat. He opens the door, grabs the broom, tries to slam it again, but Steve holds the door.
Now can we talk?
Thank you, no.
Why not?
Busy. Too busy. I have to talk to Kanda.
He nods toward a colorful tour bus parked in the alley.
A tour? Good. I'm a student of Chinese culture myself.
I'm busy. Very busy.
We need to talk about this.
Steve holds up a picture of the stolen jade. Egg reacts. He slips back inside the shop. Steve follows before he can close the door on him.
Who did you say you were again?
Steve. Steve Taylor.
Curator of the Heritage Museum?
I'm just so sorry for you.
That's my father. I'm the assistant curator.
And you say you have this jade piece on display at the museum?
Well, we did. Until it got stolen last night.
Stolen?
Yeah, by these friendly guys with the red headbands.
The Flame Lords!
Yes.
Chilong!
Chilong?
What did you know about this jade piece?
Lots. I know it's part of the Chai Tao, a mystic puzzle that, according to legend, holds the key to all the power in the universe.
Myth! Superstition!
But you believe it, don't you?
Egg pushes Steve out the door. Exterior, street traveling. They walk to an alley to walk up the gaily painted bus.
Ah, all you young pups, you are all the same. And if I did believe, do you think I'd tell you?
Why not? Look, I've been studying this subject for 19 years. I'm an expert.
You're a fool.
Oh my.
That's right.
Not as foolish that I can't tell that you're frightened.
Not frightened, just busy. Leave me alone.
But I need to talk to you.
Egg moves away toward the bus.
I know you know about this. I've heard you're something of a wizard.
Egg stops dead and turns.
You want to talk? Get on bus.
Steve jumps on. Egg stops him.
But first, my ticket.
Steve obliges. Interior, Chi Ling's fortress, same time. Bobby studies Yin Lo raging within the dragons. Do we have that page?
Yeah. Okay.
Is he okay there?
Well, if he escapes my control, he's going to be rather cross with you.
Me?
Yeah, sorry. Jumping ship.
Well, who's got the other piece? How do we get it?
She grins down at Yen.
You wouldn't care to tell. Yen Lo flips. Oh, sorry. I'm weighing the character right here. You wouldn't oh my. You wouldn't care to tell. Action, perhaps?
The good wizard?
Good wizard? Good wizard? Oh, he likes to call himself that. Truth is, it's all about the power. I've known for years, Egg had the third piece, but I didn't dare move until some fool found the second piece and put it on display in a museum.
Egg's tough. How do we get the piece away from him?
My plan is simple. In a word, trouble. That's too Russian, I'm sorry. My plan is simple. In a word, trouble. Bigger trouble.
In Little China.
That too. That's two words.
Flame Lords.
Doors burst open. Flame Lords rush in. They fall into ranks at stiff attention. Chi Lung struts before them like Patton.
Oh and my.
Scene. Oh my. Oh my.
You did very well, Russell, man. That
was yeah, I
can't. That's awful.
He played a white American and an Asian, and he's awesome. Half Japanese.
There have been times where it's just been like the three of us, just me, Jeremy, and Casey, and I've had to do the narration plus two characters. You have no idea how hard that is going back. Oh my god.
Because I would go when he does Bullwinkle yeah. back to oh my god. Blood,
yeah, I would go from doing that raspy Asian or Asian whatever. Oh, that raspy British voice. I was thinking of Chris, sorry.
Chris was channeling a Nemodian. Yeah. He was new gunray of Star Wars.
Well, I said a little Chinese, so I should know a little though.
But
Nihama.
Yeah, I would go from like the you know that voice to like Bullwinkle, and then try and do like a Jim Henson kind of thing.
Can we?
Which one?
Bullwinkle.
Bullwinkle. Oh, you do. You gotta do the like, Rock.
Yeah. As a joke, one time we did Bullwinkle and Foghorn Leghorn in a remake of The Rock.
Oh God.
Oh God.
And so I'm gonna give you one of Nick Cage's lines from that.
I take pleasure in gutting you, boy. I take pleasure in gutting you, boy.
I say.
So, yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Can you do Salacious Crumb?
No.
Yes, you can. See?
that's the character that would always be beside Jabba the Hutt, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, who's Slave Leia? Oh!
Now Jabba.
No, all you need to do is just put a couple lines of coke in front of yourself.
Yeah. Oh my god! Sorry, Carrie Fisher. I'm sorry about that.
You mean Coca-Cola.
Hey, she'll wholeheartedly admit that when she was making Return of the Jedi, she was coked up.
Yeah, she did. She actually did. And it's sad to hear, but it's the reality of, I guess, being a very famous actress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is Hollywood royalty.
Yeah, yes. She is. Yeah, yeah.
Her daughter's third generation now. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about the coke.
Oh, God.
Made well, through.
I'm sorry. I had Pepsi. Sorry. I was going to say Diet Coke, but I mean.
All right, so I want to thank you guys for coming by.
That was amazing.
It was great. We really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Do you guys have anything else that you want to talk about really quick before we go? I know that you're prepping The Assassin's Apprentice.
Yeah, this new film called The Assassin's Apprentice, again with Robert Picardo, and this time Marina Sirtis, who was Counselor Troy on Star Trek The Next Generation. It's been has been written by Paul Hickman, who helped out on Occupants, and produced again by Howard Nash.
Oh, okay.
And it stars renowned stunt actress Tara Page. So
awesome.
We're putting it together. We're doing location scouting, and we'll shoot in early December.
Anything you can tell us about the movie itself?
Well, it's about an apprentice who gets an assignment from a handler, played by Marina Sirtis, and she has to go on a mission in order to become a full-fledged assassin. And her boss is Robert Picardo's character.
Beautiful.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Chris, how about you? What have you got coming up?
Well, next month, hopefully, I'll push out the novel after my line edits. And
the name of it?
Oh, Invisible War is the name of the movie, yeah. On that movie. The thing I know, I am like, it's the name of the novel, and I'm gonna put that on Amazon.com and probably on my website or something like that. But there's also a movie that's being like an Indiegogo type thing. My friend back in Virginia is making a movie. His name is Joshua Mims, and he's written four novels, and I inspired his character because quirkiness and some of the things that I've gone through in life he's seen. So he's written this character based on, I guess, my likeness in some ways.
Newt Gunray?
Yeah. Oh, and that movie is called Saving Dang Landis, I believe. So I just want to push that out there.
Okay.
And I think after that, I'm going to try to go into these other novels. Writing is very, very fun. So
yeah.
It is very fun.
But remember, you are also in Occupants 2.
Nice.
Being written.
Oh, I probably do say, oh, you know, the casting. I really want to do the casting for Occupants 2. Right? When I did the casting for Occupants 1, I like to refer as that. that was very fun, and I learned a lot from that. So I told Russ, I said, hey, you know, if you know we do casting, let me know, blah, blah, blah. So, but I really think you should keep like a compendium of like how Occupants, because I'm hearing a lot of numbers thrown back. David, you know, says something, you said something, Fred says something, Steve says something, and I noticed that a lot of numbers are being thrown back. You should keep a compendium because it's like a Star Trek-y, you
well,
know?
Especially Fred.
I like to know dates. I'm just throwing out names.
Well, just remember the tagline for the first film, they're here.
Yes.
This time, they're back.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nice.
And
nice.
Dave, yeah, we want to do more comic books, just FYI.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
And this time, 150 cameos. First time was 90. We're now, upping
see,
this ante.
I didn't bring it up. You brought it up. See?
Which is very impressive, by the way. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, I think there's like one or two random, like non-specific people in the book.
Right.
But pretty much every single character in the book is based on a real person. There are no.
Wow.
Yeah. So you see like some lab tech assistant running a machine at the PRI Institute in the book. That's an actual person. Like there's no. And then there's some people who paid for one cameo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's this one lady who there's been a explosive attack and she's like saying, help me. And we have one of the main characters, Nicole. When I was looking at the page, I'm like, what makes no sense for the next page, her to not help her. So she actually picks her up. So she actually ends up being on two pages because she's shown needing help. And then in the next page, you know, Nicole has got her arm around her, help carrying her to the center where they're trying to help people. So
she owes us 20 awesome. Bucks.
Right.
Each perk was 20 bucks. So. I mean, each cameo perk. But,
the other project.
It's printing costs right there.
The other project I have is my webcomic. I mentioned earlier, Red Skirts.
Yes.
So you can read it at redskirtsonline.com. So definitely check that out. It's a Star Trek parody. Say the Red Shirts. It's a Red Skirts off female security squad. It's a all ages comedy, fun webcomic. So definitely check
perfect.
That out.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Anything else that you want to plug?
Right now, that's all I have on my schedule. I mean, I'm doing sketch cards gigs for Cryptozoic Entertainment.
Okay.
But I'm not really allowed to say what they are yet because they haven't been announced. Right now, Red Skirts is going to be my priority. And then I guess at some point I'm going to get a phone call about, you know, a follow-up for Occupants.
Because they're back.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about you? Anything you wanted to plug?
I'm taking a couple days off work.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm
pretty good.
Planning on enjoying it.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, that's quite important because a lot of Americans, they work a lot. And people don't take off a lot of work these days.
Sorry. That is true. I saved up so much of my paid time off over the course of the year, and I have to use it up or else I lose it before the year's over.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just burning it all off right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm taking some time next month and December just to try and get it all out there.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason I don't have like a lot of projects to plug, because I just finished Occupants and I wanted to take a break.
No, I'm good.
So you're no longer occupied.
Right.
Oh.
Why don't we have a rim shot button? Like, for you, you would think.
No.
If anybody's listening out there, make sure hashtag where's David and then space not and then hashtag occupied.
Where is he? Not occupied.
And then the most clever picture of a pizza you can find, like the one on your shirt.
Yes, this is a beautiful spin pizza.
You do know pizza is very important to the comic book in the film.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we're...
And the hint is, for our release party, we got a large pepperoni and a large supreme pizza. That's all I'm going to say.
And this is from Spin Pizza, actually, in Huntington Beach.
Yeah. So they're going to be in Occupants too?
Oh, shoot. I said the name of Bergen Sue is now. No, I'm sorry. No, they actually probably like that.
No, nobody listens.
No, it's been really pizza. Don't. But the pizza looks very, very nice. I'm actually getting kind of hungry now. So. Yeah, but that's one of the biggest things right there is the pizza man. So
there you go.
There's the pizza man, Aaron Redford. Shout out to him.
Yeah. Shout out.
Well, thank you guys very much again for coming by. We certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
You are welcome back anytime.
Anytime.
So I know you guys don't live close, but.
Well, I'm always here sometimes, so.
Well, I should also say, if for anybody wants to see anything about the comic book or the movie, OccupantsTheMovie.com. That's Occupants, plural, TheMovie.com.
Okay.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right. Well, thank you again, guys. And I guess for the end of the show, we will probably play it out with something by Robert Picardo. I know I can find something.
All right.
Again, so
it's
going to
be beautiful.
That. Even if it's something from Voyager that I have to just like rip off.
All jazz.
My darling Clementine. Yeah. I think he sang with Jerry Ryan.
Yeah.
In that episode.
But one way or the other, I will find something Robert Picardo to put at the end of this.
There you go. It's not hard.
No.
Thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Song of Hologram. I find as I slog my way through the mud of a world clogged with creatures of flesh and blood that my photons and force fields draw fire. From you jealous organics who suffer from panics that before you can blink, you will all be extinct and my kind will the cosmos acquire. But I am what I am, a superb hologram. Next to me you will always be drearier. Don't hate me because I'm superior. I don't mean to ruin your confidence. I'm afraid that is merely a consequence of the fact that I'm better than you. Don't resent or reject me. They hollow project me, design me so fine that I simply outshine everyone, not just dim bulbs like you. I'm sublime, and in time, when your tastes have refined, you'll agree, and I hope you'll be cheerier when you see that I'm simply superior. I hope we can be friends. Your company I'll treasure. When you're rude, you'll make amends. I'll be gracious beyond measure. We'll become like two plums on a vine. Me, with perfection graced, you, merely carbon-based. Side by side on a grand ride through time. Till that day when we share time delightfully, please try not to treat me so frightfully, and I'll try not to make you feel small. For although I'm terrific, my skill's monolithic, I'll grant that on balance you're not without talent. Side by side we could conquer them all. I'll bet you'll regret, and you'll beg me forget, We were foes as your face grows tearier, and you'll cheer that your friend is superior. In the meantime, perhaps you would feel less inferior if I praised your attractive posterior.